Yeah. How you feel about this season though?
This season was, I like the content, but the process was definitely the struggle. We're real. Y'all know that.
This is the longest season.
I feel like this is the longest it's ever taken us to actually do a season, because we ended up taking a little random break between having a baby, getting acclimated with the baby. But now that he's 4 months, and the fact that we've been in this season that whole time is like, Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think, you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what is that, dogs?
Mm-hmm.
Either way. Anyway.
But yeah, no, I love this season. I think it was, I like the content, like I said, but learning our new processes with like having two kids. But I think now, like, we've figured out how to get them down at the same time, at least twice a day,
mm-hmm.
you know, stuff like that. So I think we're finally kind of like in our rhythm and in our flow that would allow us to kind of be better next season. How'd you feel about it?
Oh,
you're already yawning.
Yes. I'm sorry. No, I think
you're already yawning. We just started.
No, I think this season was had really, really good topics. I think this was a learning season just for our new normal.
Yeah, beyond the podcast.
Yeah, beyond the podcast. Mm-hmm. So just being able to put it all together, it definitely was a learning curve. Still is.
Mm-hmm.
But we got through it. We got through another season.
Yes, season five. This is our last episode. But I am excited about season six, because I think now that we've found a rhythm, we can kind of get back to how we were at the beginning. You know, it's not the...
Right. But it don't feel like it's been five seasons.
No, that's actually pretty crazy. I think this is like episode... It's well over episode like 50-something.
Sheesh. Well... This is the questions that need answers.
Yes, episode. Questions that need answers, where we go into questions that we've either been asked in life, asked recently, asked via social media, or asked through the podcast, where tonight we will answer. Well, you'll be listening to this tomorrow or Tuesday.
Right.
Questions that need answers. So here's our insight and our input and the things that we've learned and the things that we've gone through and navigating through at the same time, and our thoughts in regards to those topics. So
let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
What's going on, everybody? We're your hosts, Malcolm and Brittany Garrison, and you're listening to Let's Talk About It.
Let's Talk About It is a space where we unpack life's transitions and their effects on millennials.
As entrepreneurs and millennial parents, we've navigated a lot of life transitions.
And we're here to share those experiences with you while challenging perspectives and engaging in open dialogue.
Y'all ready?
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
All right, so who wants to start? You want to start, or do you want me to start?
You can start.
With the question. All right, I got the layup. So, our first question is, how do we handle conflicts and disagreements constructively within marriage? That's a pretty good question, too.
Explain constructively.
Yeah, because I think, constructively in my head, I'm thinking, like, without disregard of somebody else's feelings,
mm-hmm.
and then without disrespect and fight. I think it's more so like, how do we have mature conversational disagreement? But when it says disagreements, I think how do we handle disagreements maturely,
mm-hmm.
Within marriage? Because we already know it's very, very hard to communicate your point without getting offensive or being offensive. getting offended without being offensive. And I think for us, We already have a certain level of maturity that I think is like innate in us.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are, you know, kind of wise beyond our years, but I think we've learned each other enough to know like when to pick certain things. You know what I'm saying? When to talk about certain things. When a disagreement is big, do we just go off right then and there, or do we allow time? Like, because who
are you still? Are you still the person that needs time, or have I become that? Because I know back in the day, you were like, I need time to think so I can have the right response.
I think I still am. I think I still am a time person, because I don't, typically if I say something that comes right to my head,
it's terrible.
It's, you know, terrible timing. It's terrible communication. It's just not good.
Yeah, I think how we navigate disagreements as within our marriage and to be constructive with those conversations is to give it time. Because I'm the kind of person when it comes to anybody, I try to be over, and it could be a toxic trait, but to be overly empathetic toward what the other person might have been feeling or thinking in that moment, and not being so caught up in myself and my point and how I want you to feel, but I do want you to understand me. And I think every time we end up, at least recently, every time we've had a disagreement, it ends up in like some deep heart to heart that turns into a bunch of tears and now we're crying. And you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think we've ever been like heavy yellers, like where we scream back and forth at each other. Like if we ever get to that point, like it was bad. I don't feel like we've done that since like college.
Yes.
Or maybe like before we got married.
I don't even know what that would
be. Hell, we was arguing
with
at our wedding rehearsal.
We was about what?
Who knows? I don't know what we were arguing about. I just remember my dad turning us around because we was going at it. Like, please, argue this way so nobody can see
you. Definitely did not know that. That's crazy. No, I mean, I think I'm already naturally a calm person, so it does take a lot for me to get riled up, except for competition. But
Jesus Christ!
Other than that, I don't think it takes. I think it takes a lot for me to even go there anyway. So I would never kind of disrespect you in that way anyway, because I'm just a lot more self aware now.
Mm-hmm.
So I would more so. I think we. We try to hear from reading that book. What was the book called? What's that marriage book? Dang, I forget now. We did a pod on it too.
We've done a pod on a lot of marriage books.
I know.
Oh, the communication. It was like something about communication.
Yeah, something like that. But then we also got trained on, like, we know our personality types.
Yeah.
As well. And I think it's important to know your significant other's personality type. Yeah. So you do know how to communicate. So. Just for an example, if you're yellow, if your partner's a yellow.
Explain a yellow to the people who don't know what a yellow is.
Now, yellow, is that the same as spring?
Yes.
Spring type. So they kind of want to save the whales. They kind of have a softer, a softness about them.
Mm-hmm.
So coming with a more gentle approach is more approachable for them,
mm-hmm.
and a lot more receiving for them,
mm-hmm.
Than somebody that is a winter type.
Right.
Or we call a red.
And a winter type is myself. I am like the person that's like, get to the point. I hate small talk.
Mm-hmm.
Or let me not say I hate small talk. I hate when like there's something that needs to be said or wants to be said. And this is not even just an argument. This is in life. Like this grinds my gears is when somebody just won't get to why we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes, like, you know, where.
talking in circles.
Things, how do I say this? Like, just say it. Like, I don't need you to butter it up and put a cute bow on it. Get to the point, because this is pissing me off more than probably what you even gonna say. Real talk, I hate that. Like, I tell people all the time, like, you do not have to try to beautify what needs to be said based off of how you think I'm going to respond to it.
Correct.
And I think, like you said, self-awareness has allowed me to navigate the proper response to things. And I don't need to sit with things for days anymore, but I do need to sit for a moment so that I can effectively articulate my response.
Correct.
And if there's a position that I'm trying to take, like I want the position to come across in a way where it's like, I want you to hear me, but it doesn't have to be you agreeing with said thing. I think when I was younger, everything was about, yo, you need to agree with my point. Like,
right.
I said what I said, and I don't exactly. understand why you don't agree with what I'm saying. But I think, like you said, maturity and age, just learning yourself and learning your communication styles. Like when we have disagreements, like I really want you to understand, especially if it's something in a state of like me feeling hurt or mm-hmm. anything like that. Like I want to express to you how said thing made me feel. It doesn't necessarily have to be about you agreeing or anything like that, or like feeling how I felt, but I do want you to understand how it made me feel so that you can understand me. Mm-hmm. And obviously, typically, those are the conversations where it's like, well, that wasn't my intent. That's not what I meant to say. I mean, that's not what I was meaning when I said it. It's like, yeah, just because that's not what you meant, though, doesn't mean that that's not how it was received. And when you understand communication and like you study stuff like that, which I guess for us, because we've been in business, we've learned a lot more than that we've been able to apply to our marriage. But I think when you study things like communication, the communication of people, it allows you to like understand, is this a response moment or this is a receiving moment, or am I wrong? Right. You know what, even though I feel like I was right, or that wasn't my intent, was my intent or lack thereof something that could be evaluated to say it wasn't the best,
right?
You know, or the best approach. Yeah. So I think the biggest thing is like really approach for us and effective communication and being, you know, okay with, it ain't always going to go your way too. I think we're okay with,
correct,
that level of conversation of like, this is not always going to be pretty, or it's not always going to be, you know, I think we really call each other out on our shit, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
I'm not trying to hold you down, hold you accountable.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
So how can I maintain my individual identity within my marriage?
I feel like this is a very hard question. Because yes, we struggled with
that are one people.
No, I just feel like we struggled in our 20s. I think we struggled with having our own identities outside of each other.
Was it outside of each other? Was it outside of a business?
Yes. But I think we identified ourselves with it, with the business. So it was kind of like, because we met each other at such an early age.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you go through life together and you go through everything at that same time together. It is kind of hard to find like your own identity because you've kind of been wrapped up within this person this entire time, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think within your marriage, the question is like, how can you maintain?
Yeah, like be your own person.
I think what I decided to do was figure out what did I want to do for me. And not just what we had been doing, which just seemed familiar.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So I think soul searching is important in a way to maintain like your own identity, like figure out what do you like to do, who you are, what is your triggers, what's not your trigger. You know what I'm saying? Like start to understand yourself a lot more by doing your own inner work.
Yeah.
I think that's very, very important. And that's something I really did have to do, especially when we left network marketing.
Yeah, no, I think I look at individuality like I look at bank accounts, okay, right? Especially from a marital standpoint, there's a lot of people that don't believe in joint accounts.
Right.
Right. Which they don't. Well, let me not say joint accounts, but they don't believe in a melting pot of account, like our money, and then that money gets dispersed into multiple pots, your account, my account, joint, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I look at individuality as the same thing, like where there's a your account, my account, our account. You know what I mean? Like there, I feel like when you become married, you do become that. I mean, you do become biblically, one. You yeah. become one. So part of it is like, that's what's supposed to happen. There's nobody that's inviting me somewhere that doesn't say Brittany and Malcolm or Malcolm and Brittany. Like there's nobody that talks about, unless it's a girl thing, there's rarely is it just, hey, I just want to see you.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like we are an entity together.
Package deal.
We are a package deal. Like, and it should be weird when you see one without the other. Like, I don't think that's a bad thing. But I feel like when you're talking about individuality, it's like, what are the things that you do outside of that person? I think you lose yourself when you become so consumed with just you, you know? But from the conception of our relationship, we've always had separate things to do. Until we got into business together, we had always done our own thing.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Correct.
Down to college, like you'd be on the road for a game and I'd be at the studio, you know, with my friends making records, you know, mm-hmm. stuff that we wanted to do. And so we've always had that individual thing. I think it comes when there's where there's no ability to be separate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We love our time together, but we love our time apart because we're always together.
Correct. And I think couples need something that's recreational for that individual.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like basketball is that for me. Going to the gym is recreational. It's something that I like to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
But
Target.
It's always been my identity. You know what I'm saying? That's always been part of me. And you said Target runs for you?
I'm a mom. Of course Target is a mental health break for
Man,
me.
What? Anytime she get in the car, what's that mean? You got to drive.
What?
That real you sent me that one time.
What? When it's
mom's
like
mom's getting the car and leave the kids to the dad.
That was the funniest reel I ever saw in my life because that was so real. Mommy loves you.
Yeah, I just think couples, they need their own something that's recreational for you.
Yeah, like I feel like whatever that's how you maintain your identity, even if it's in career, you know what I mean? Like somehow, some way, we have found a new melting pot in the same thing. But it's like, what we were talking about, remember that day we went to the mall to get Cinnabons?
Uh-huh.
And we were talking about how we've become a financial entity as
financial
a financial services house.
Yeah.
But we're in two different versions of it, you know, like we operate in two different spaces of it, but it's the same umbrella, under the same umbrella. And it's like, okay, cool. Well, we can still operate in the same capacity, but we have different spaces where we thrive at, where we're able to, I think we really lost our identity individually when we had nothing to come to each other that was different. Like we couldn't have different conversations with each other because we were living together. We are building the same business.
We're having the same day.
We're having the same day every day together.
Right.
There's nothing to talk about.
Yeah, my problems is your problems. You know what I'm saying? Like, because you deal with the same stuff.
It's your
push. Yeah.
Right? And so I think for us, it's like having those, I mean, it's not a big difference, but it's enough of a difference for us to feel the individuality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're definitely going to two different
journeys.
You know what I'm saying?
Totally different lanes. But not just in career. Like, what do you do outside of that? Who do you hang out with? You constantly are like, the boys hit me out. We going to lunch. Like, nigga.
Just because I ain't used to do that.
You didn't used to do that at all. But I love that for you.
Yeah. Me too.
I just need more of it as well.
Right. Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it's the scheduling. As an adult, though, it does get harder.
No, it does.
It does get harder.
But, you know, I think the thing for me is like the mommy guilt because you're with the kids so much, because I work from home and the time frame of my schedule where it's like, I'd feel bad if I ever even be like, no, don't go to the gym, nigga. No, what? Just bring back some food.
I'm crying.
For real, like the mommy guilt and the wife guilt makes me feel that way. Like you need that, you know. But it's like it doesn't take away from the fact that I haven't had it in forever. You know what I mean? Like
exactly.
But
that's why I mean, when you asked me the other day, like I think you need that.
Man, I need a few of them jumps.
You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Galentine's with the girls. I can't wait.
Hopefully, we answered that somewhere in there. Right. All right, so next question is pretty good too. What steps should we take to protect our personal relationship while working closely together professionally? It's kind of intertwined.
I think that happened for us when we implemented date night or like a cutoff period of business. Like we still struggle at that today where it's like, when do you cut it off?
When the heck do you cut off? Because here's the thing. Like in our experience, we're like kind of like two startups, so to speak.
Right.
So imagine being a startup business and not just one, but two.
Right.
And kind of like three. But you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day. So it's like hard to find that time when you know what it takes to win at a high level.
That's the problem.
And that's really the issue we deal with is that we know what it takes to win at a high level. And we know the level of focus and kind of hard work that you got to put in at the early stages, you know what I'm saying? To be able to kind of systemize yourself and automate yourself throughout the process at the end, not at the end, but like, you know, in your journey. So I think it is necessary to be intentional about spending time and having intimacy. We talk a lot about, you know, intimacy ourselves. We bring it up and sometimes it's not uncomfortable conversations because we have them enough.
Yeah.
But it can be uncomfortable for other people if they're not having enough conversations around being intimate. outside of physical, outside of, you know what I'm saying?
Or it's simple, like I miss you. Like, I miss who we've, I think we've had a lot more of that conversation since we had our second kid of like, I just miss what, I think what I miss the most is that we never got our chance to, we were so focused on business.
In our
20s. Mm-hmm. That we started having kids.
Yeah.
And it made it difficult for us to date each other. Which I don't regret it, because obviously, like, it was a perfect building season, but it's like now we're back in a building season, but there are different stipulations with it that come with that. And so being in your building season, I think that's also, to answer another avenue of that question, another answer to that is you have to know what season you are in life.
Correct.
And I agree. We're in a building season right now, and we know that, and we know what it takes, and we know what being in a building season means, but we just have a different situation and circumstance. Like, you're not, like, we could go live through that, me and you. I know we could, our marriage would survive a building season. We've been there before multiple times, but we got kids now. You know what I'm saying? Correct. And because we have kids, it also means that we want our own time too, to just be husband and wife, to be boyfriend and girlfriend and all that stuff like that. And I think those are, I was talking to somebody else the other day, and I think if I ever had to say I had a regret in my life, it will be what we didn't do in our 20s. And just being so solely focused on business, that we never once celebrated the successes we were having by doing things for ourselves. Cool. You know, minus a little here and there. Oh, you go buy you a little Gucci bag or something like that. And it's like, yeah, no, we really needed a vacation.
Yeah. We really needed more time to connect with each other. I think that's kind of what you're getting at. It's like, we kind of missed out on a lot of times that we could have connected. We had all the resources to do that. And we decided
to.
And we didn't need nobody to watch our kids. And we decided to, you know, stay focused on other things. You know what I'm saying? We didn't really, you know, we were honest about that. We wasn't really focused on the marriage and building the marriage per se in our 20s like we are in our 30s. And some of that comes with a level of maturity, self-awareness, of course. I don't know. I mean, steps to protect it. I think there is. There is an understanding of, like you said, what season is your marriage in? What season are you in individually? Collectively as a couple, what season are y'all in? And then getting on the same page of, okay, this in this season, this is what I need from you. And this is what I need from you. You know what I'm saying? Getting on that page of, I need this, and or I may not need this right now, but I need you to be here in this area of my life.
Right.
And I think we do. Do well at communicating that. And here's another tip. If you need to modify that. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. We said at the beginning of this year, we said in another podcast that we were in, because we were in this building season, we were willing to put our marriage, you know, kind of not necessarily on the back burner, but it's like we're prioritizing the foundation of this business in this building season that we're in. And it's like, because we've spent so much time not doing that, it's almost hard to even get back into that kind of mode. Like, we're physically and mentally and emotionally invested into our businesses and developing them, but we're not even in that place anymore where we could not be us. You know what I mean? I think we've been able to find new time just because we've been able to put the boys down at 8:30, 9 o'clock every night. Exactly. And then we end up till 1 a.m. because, like, we're just talking and enjoying each other and, you know, just spending that time that we needed to get back. You know what I mean? So I think when you find that sweet spot, cut it off.
Yeah.
Cut it off. The business will build. I mean, I don't feel like we have to be in a place where
your career, where, your job,
yeah,
whatever
all
it is.
Of the, yeah, your career, your job, whatever it is that you have. I don't think we have to be so locked in. I don't think you're not locked in just because you decide to spend that time. Like, it doesn't make you less locked in because I decided to not work my ass off till 1 a.m. in the morning.
You know what?
Because like, I'm too old for that.
Because social media make you feel like, you know, if you're not doing something every hour of the day towards that, towards your business or goal, whatever, is that you're not, you know, you're not doing enough. You're not working hard enough, stuff like that. You're not locked in, you know what I'm saying? But people got kids, people got significant others. There's so much more things that make a life outside of what you do.
That is a fact.
You know,
and that's the real thing. And I think we know that now, but it's like, it's embedded in us to a point where, like I said, like we were like, we're about to grind and go crazy. First quarter, it's going to be all in. And it's like, and it's not that. Like, yeah, we work crazy hours, but we have really been diligent. Like, it was happening naturally, though. It wasn't happening like, okay, cut it off. We're going to, because I still do business sometimes at 9, 10 at night. You know what I mean? But it's also like, all right, but we're making it a point to connect every night. Now we've moved beyond like, oh, let's have a date night. And I think we've had to, because it's hard to get that one-on-one time because we do have kids. So we've prioritized even just that those hours where we can just sit and be.
Right. I told her, I'm like, I wish I was a drinker, but I'm not.
You don't have to be a drinker for us to have a good
time. I know. I'm saying, like, because people, you know, they wind down with wine and stuff like that. I'm like, hey, yeah, I got my cranberry juice. I'm good.
Get a bottle. Like, I haven't had a bottle in the crib in so long.
That's, look at that. That's good.
Oh, my Christ.
That's good.
It's coming back.
Take away the devil's nectar.
That is so stupid. I'm crying. But yeah, like, I think we've just intentionalized and prioritized that. Like, that's something I look forward to. You know, that's why I think season six is going to be, you know, I don't think this season was great, but I think season six is like just another level. Is that a cry or a cough?
Cough.
You know, I think season six is just going to be another level because it's like, I feel like we're going into another level of the game, of another level of intimacy, another level of our relationship, because there are things that are just naturally priority now that in our 20s when we were building were not.
That's right.
I love that for us.
I do too. What's the next
question? Did I read the last one?
No, I just read
that. Oh, you can read two back to back. That's okay.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think we kind of answered this other question. Building, maintaining healthy work-life balance while building a group.
Yeah. Some pitfalls, yeah. We talked about the pitfalls to avoid and starting a business as a couple.
I would say, so some of the pitfalls to avoid when starting a business as a couple, no, because I do have an answer for that.
What is that?
Do not be in competition with your significant other.
Oh, yeah. That's facts.
Secret
that's
competition.
Facts. That's stupid.
I feel like I talked about this before in another episode before, but I think that's one of the pitfalls where it's like, I want to be better than you versus like, we are collaborating to build this together.
Right.
And people be acting like they don't be doing that job, but they
right.
do.
They something. Do. I understand you're building a life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? With that person, it's not a competition.
Ever. At all. Or it's not like, oh, because I've had moments of envy where I'm like, you know what you want to do, and I don't even know who I am. Like, how do you do this? And, you know, but it's like taking lessons from that or like being motivated. You're like one of my biggest motivators. Like, I love watching you work and the way that you do what you do and the way that you are so studious and like intentional about your work. And you're very, very particular about it. And you're very strategic. And those things and those skill sets of how you really embody something when you start studying it and all that, like that motivates me. You're like, how engrossed you get into it, how you master skill sets, like stuff like that to me is like, yo, that is so fire.
I appreciate that, baby.
Yeah, it's like, what are the strengths and what can you learn from those things, or how do they like, you teach me a lot about sales too. You be like, you dropping the ball on that. And you dropping the ball on that, like you just walked away from the sale that way.
I don't, so what do you feel in that moment? Because I don't mean to be like,
see, but I'm a student because of your level of sales. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, I've done sales. You've done sales. But you
what's crazy, I feel like you're much better than me in sales. See, the difference is, I feel like
I'm a natural better. You're a taught better.
Yeah, you're a natural better. I was taught how to do certain things.
So I think in those moments, but that's what it is. It's like, okay, that is still a strength of yours because you have a different level of technicality around that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So in those moments, I don't feel any way. I'm more so, I might feel a way. Let me not lie. I might feel a way for real. But I'm also like in a student mode at the same time where it's like, you have knowledge that I don't have, or you have been taught strategies that I was never taught. I'm naturally good at being a salesperson. I know correct. That's why I naturally consistently gravitate to sales opportunities. Sales, yeah.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
I sell people on a lot of stuff. I sell people on themselves. I sell people on why they need stuff. I sell people why they don't. You know, I'm a salesperson. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And so because of that, it's in my nature, but there are still some things. Just because you're naturally good at something doesn't mean that you cannot be taught. It takes you learning or mastering that skill set that you have naturally. Yeah. It's like somebody who's naturally, what do you call it? Like their body tone, like they're naturally built athletic, but that doesn't, just because you look that way, like you can really look like crazy if you like actually work out though.
I just think for me, I had such experience with people in customer service.
Yes.
That I have a wealth of knowledge with that because I had to deal with hundreds of thousands of, you know what I'm saying?
See, but the level of thousands. Business that I'm in now is more that base versus what I did in my natural habitat of network marketing is like, it's more so dealing with people from a leadership perspective, not from a customer perspective.
Yeah.
I never had to deal with a customer.
Right. De-escalating people and all that other stuff. Like, I had to do that face to face, and that stuff, it can be like,
because let's be real, strenuous. Something happens when you start making money as an entrepreneur, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, I'm not taking no bullshit.
Correct.
I'm not about to take you asking me a bunch of questions when you're not about to even do nothing. Like, mm-hmm. that's crazy, first of all.
Right.
I get it. You know what I'm saying? Right. But when you're dealing with people, and especially like the majority of my clientele being way older than me.
Correct.
There's a level of empathy and brought downness. But from a sales perspective of, like you said, like, how do I assume the sale?
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that you've taught me, like, so you just walked away?
Like, or you asked the question.
As a question versus a statement, or you didn't even offer. Like, you didn't even cross-sell them. You didn't offer them life insurance. Like, oh my God. And I'm like, what do you mean? No, it was already.
Yeah.
You know, so I think when you learn the strengths is how do you look at that person's strengths and what can you learn from? I mean, do you feel like you learned from me?
I learned a lot from you daily, I think. See, because you have this natural ability about you, things that seem hard to other people, which when you came into the insurance industry, your ability to connect with people, it took me a long time to learn what you picked up first day. You know what I'm saying? Making people laugh. Oh, you know, having them be open to you. It's not something that came to me naturally, and it comes naturally to you. So seeing it, I'm like, okay, she is a fast learner.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I like to learn, but I don't like to learn fast. I like to, you know what I'm saying, gradually take my time. So you're so quick with it, and you can run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, being as an entrepreneur, is admirable because you could do anything well and do it quickly. You know what I'm saying? That's a skill that most people don't possess. And I tell you one time, I'm like, you know, you're like top 1% of brokers when it comes, because I'm a fact person. I'm like, you know, you're a top 1% broker right now in what you're doing in the industry.
Am I really?
When it comes to, maybe not top 10, because what most people brand new do is not the numbers that you're doing. And I want you to understand that. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Yeah, but that's like there's a level of imposter syndrome-ness when you start something, you know what I mean? Where it's like, I'm not that good. There's so much I don't know. And so because there's that level and those factors of the don't know ability or the things that are in the dark about, or like you're still developing those skill set and you're mastering something, especially in a new industry of insurance sales, Medicare, health insurance, all that stuff like that, because there's a constant learning curve. It just feels like you never know enough for me to feel like I'm that good. Where you've had to, you and Marcus, shout out to Marcus, he put me on. but you and Marcus have, because like, that's not Brittany Garrison. And I'd be like, what are you talking about? You're like, what did you eat? Like, who is this? And I'm like, there's still a level of like newness where I feel like a freshman. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
But that's just knowledge based. But you're But I'm talking skill-based. You have skills that most people take so much time to master and learn. Mm-hmm. They come to you very, very quickly, and you can run with it and make money. Some people, it's very hard to make money as an entrepreneur.
That's a fact.
You know what I'm saying? But it's not hard for you. And that's and that is admirable. You know what I'm saying? It's not hard for you at all. And people can learn from that.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Well, feel hard. I wanted to be $10 million trillion tomorrow.
I know. It's because, I'll be a millionaire in 10 days. So it is what it is.
A millionaire in 10 days. It's crazy.
Do we have another one? Let's see. There's so much entrepreneur stuff on here.
I know, right? I
didn't know that. Dang, another one.
Okay.
All right, so what are some smart financial habits that we have developed that are helping us build wealth and achieve financial independence over time?
I would say some of the financial habits that one I think is really big. I have told Malcolm recently that I feel like I've turned into him. My ability to spend money, I don't know what happened to it. Mm-hmm. Like, I actually have to be thinking before I buy stuff. Like, oh my God, what is this?
That's so funny.
For real. You know me we did the money episode where I talked about, like, I am a massive spender, but like as of recently, like, it just does not feel the same because the goals are different. Like, we want to buy a house, you know, in the next year or two, whatever. And so it's like, when you think about that, I'm like, am I taking out of the house? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, obviously there are different funds for everything, but it's like, there's just a different focus on the money. But I will say one of the things, and you be like, you're now the person that's like, you deserve this. Like, you need to go splurge on yourself. And I'm like, me? And you're like, it's like we've become opposite in that sense of like, yo, go.
Do your thing.
Where I used to ask you, like, why can't I spend this money? Right. I need that money.
Yeah. I'm crying. Financial habits, I think. Well, one thing we've implemented at least this year is that, you know, once a month at the end of the month, we go through like revenue, profit, loss, all that stuff, and then see what we're willing to save, what we can save, mm-hmm. based on what's left. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that is one habit that somebody can implement.
Yes, bookkeeping.
Bookkeeping. You know, at the end of the day, part of, you know, it just depends on a couple, but somebody needs to learn some kind of skill set around money.
Yeah.
It could be within bookkeeping, taxes, I don't even know what's something else. So like investing.
Yeah. But even with investing, like fully understanding the risks involved or your level of your risk tolerance. Like, mm-hmm. we've had those recent conversations as of like the last couple of weeks of like, okay, what are we willing to risk? What does that look like when it comes to, you know, continuously growing our income, growing our wealth, putting money in different places to diversify? It's like, okay, what is our actual risk tolerance and what are we looking mm-hmm. to do? How are we looking to grow? I think for us, because we were in a space where money was coming so fast that you get used to something in particular. Mm-hmm. And so it's also now based off of what you've learned from fast money as we're in like medium money. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, so it's like, how do we diversify quickly? What do we learn from that? So I definitely think another one is like, you know, looking into life insurance and different ways to diversify income into investment accounts and all that stuff like that. But one of the biggest things I will say was life insurance, because you do increase your overall net worth value when mm-hmm. you have something like that. You know why I know? Is because, you know, when I deal with customers and clientele that are on like Medicaid mm-hmm. or Social Security, one of the questions that they always ask is in regards to, do you have a life insurance policy? If so, how much is it? Because they deem that as income. They deem that as, if you're not as broke as you think you are if you got a life insurance policy.
No, that's real.
You know what
that's
I'm saying? Real. You're not where you are financially if you have some sense of life insurance, especially if it's a life insurance policy that you could pull from.
Yeah, because I think you got to look at it as an entire umbrella in a house of, mm-hmm. you know, house of cards, so to speak, your financial house. So
yeah,
having everything in place. So And that's part of, you know, why, and people don't really know I've been certified in taxes. So mm-hmm. Part of that was to, one, understand it for us, mm-hmm. but also to create even more habits, because anytime we pay ourselves, obviously we have payroll and stuff like that. But anytime you got like an LLC and you taking a draw from your account, I'm telling her, like, immediately put 25% of that to savings, you know what I'm saying, for taxes. Mm-hmm. So it's like getting, you just gotta do it. You know what I'm saying? Most people, they'll say it, but you gotta actually do it, mm-hmm. and create the habit. Because it's very hard to just do something if you don't create the habit over and over and over again.
Yes. And the other thing I would say is tithing.
Tithing,
because, you know, at the end of the day, I think that's a faith move, faith mm-hmm. in your finances, and to say that I believe that God could do more with 90% than I could do with 100, and trusting that. And I feel very confident and comfortable in knowing that weekly, you know, those tithes are always, like, it's like saying, I appreciate what you've done, how you provide, and the opportunities that you've afforded us that provide us income, mm-hmm. and here's your piece back. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got this. You, huh? Let me break you off a little bit, God. And making sure that we're diligent in that, because at the end of the day, the Bible says he loves a cheerful giver, and being happy about being able to do that, and being in a place where, like I said, you trust that God could do more in enlarging your territory with the 90 than you can do with 100.
Right.
Because I feel like when we had 100 in our hands, honestly, the fact that we've had the financial successes that we have had in our life, to only be 31 and never pay tithes. It's like, what does God see that as now, and us doing it? Like, what? Shoot, this might be crazy.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, somebody has to take on the responsibility of being educated around this stuff. Like, you know, tithing, you know, fortunately, it is also a write-off. You know what I'm saying? Fast. So at the end of the day...
This man, listen, y'all, since Malcolm's been studying this tax stuff, always a tax nugget in everything.
It's a financial nugget, because at the end of the day, you want to lower your income to maximize your return at the end of the day. So if you're looking to do that, either way, you're gonna get the money back. Is what I'm telling you.
So stop being worried about what the church is doing with your money.
You're gonna get the money back some kind of way. It'll help you.
But yeah, I mean, this is not a question, but I also must say, when they talk about intimacy and us growing together and cutting off, I think another area that we have grown in, or that's helped us grow, is being mindful of our time with God personally, but also mm-hmm. collectively, or like even coming together on Sunday for the messages and, you know, stuff like that has been able to really help us develop, I think, a deeper level of intimacy together, because mm-hmm. we're seeking God together.
He was like, did you hear that?
Did you hear what he just said?
He talking to me, he talking to you.
It's me.
It's my life. Right?
That's me. That's just what he's talking about.
No, legit.
All right, I got one for you, because I think you're going to bless us here.
I want to know this.
What are some things, some strategies for balancing passion and profitability?
I think I'm going to bless you with this. Balancing passion and profitability. See, it's a thin line, I feel like, mm-hmm. between passion and profitability. Most of the time, most people's passions typically aren't profitable. Yeah, typically aren't profitable. And I know it's very easy to feel like whatever I'm passionate about, I should monetize. Mm. But sometimes that's where I'm talking about recreation.
Yeah.
And that could be what your recreation is, around some of your time away from your partner, away from your family, or with your family and with your partner. That can bring you, you know, a full life. So I think a lot of times we get that misconstrued, is that, man, I'm passionate about this. But listen, I want you to look at the numbers and tell me, what is your chance of actually providing for yourself doing so, mm-hmm. doing this? Now, there is exceptions to every rule.
Yeah.
But I think it's very, very important to have that real conversation with yourself. Like, is my passion profitable? Mm-hmm. am I good enough to get be profitable with it? Am I good enough to provide a life for myself by doing this and getting a monetary gain from it?
Mm-hmm.
If that answer is no, that's okay. That's not what you do to make money. You know what I'm saying? You don't do that to make money. You do that to make yourself happy and to feel like a whole person.
Bruh, I have realized that some of the things that I am skilled at creatively are the things that loathe me to charge for. Like, it's some of the stuff that I have knowledge in when it comes to, like, social media and helping develop systems and stuff like that that people don't know how to utilize. Like, I was just talking to one of my friends who's building a business and very, very successful. And I'm like, yo, you got to streamline. Like, yo, you're having a lot of intake that you're having to now do by yourself. You're doing it one by one by one. Yo, let me show you how to set this up so that when this person puts in this keyword, it sends them all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. We put together this whole system. And it's as if I literally work for them. It literally felt like I work for them, but not in the sense of like, but it wasn't in a way like I'm saying it in a negative way. Like, it's like, I want to do this. I want to help you. I want to, I love doing, like, it's a skill set I have. It don't even take me no time to like, it's like, it's something that I'm passionate about, something that I'm really, really skilled at, but it's never something that I want to monetize. And I just be like, yo, what is wrong with me? Because I'm, you know, people are always, when you're helping people in that space, they're always like, yo, you could make so much money with this. Yo, you could be charging this, that. And I'm like, yeah, could be. But I literally have no desire to do it for that. And has social media put us in a place where we have to feel like we have to monetize everything.
Exactly.
Whatever I do has to bring me some bread. Like, I can't do nothing for fun. I can't do nothing because I just want to help somebody. It has to always bring me a check. And I just feel like that's a social media has made us feel like, yeah, that too. But social media has really made us feel like we cannot do anything unless it makes me money. You know what I'm saying? Or like, there's people who want to get into the social media game and as an influencer because they want brands to get paid them. That's typical. Like, when people talk about being influencers, that's what they mean. They don't mean I actually want to build a community. I want people to like, that's what the brands are paying for. They're paying for the community you already built.
Yeah.
Before, you know what I'm saying? They start paying. Right. They're paying for the trust that these people already have in you. They're paying for your audience. They're paying for the people that you already connect with. That takes way longer to build than just saying, like, I want to be this person and this is what I want to do now. Because I've tried it. You know what I'm saying? And every time I tried it, it's inauthentic until I realized, like, the truth about Brittany is, like, yo, I'm a mom. I'm a wife. I work from home, you know, and I'm now trying to navigate being a second-time mom, still maintaining and nourishing so my marriage can flourish, but also getting it back. So a lot of my content lately has just been a bunch of random stuff. Like, this is my stay at my work from home mom activity that I'm trying to do with my toddler today because I have mom guilt about being at home working.
That's real.
That's a real thing.
That's a real thing. People go through that every day.
Every day. But connection content marketing is something that's really, really huge. But why do we feel like I just need everybody to be calling me for this, or some of the things that I feel like I'm most skilled at outside of sales. Jesus Christ. All of what I just said just got caught up. Most of the things that I'm skilled out. Okay.
Skilled at
outside of sales.
Jesus Christ.
Are the things that I don't be wanting to charge for.
Yeah,
that's passion to
me. Hitting her up though, like a million people hitting her, then she gonna have to charge.
Well, that's why I didn't say what it is.
But you do that thing you were talking about.
Yes, but I'm definitely charging because I don't want to do it. I'm trying to tell you, like, it has to be. It's like the right person. I feel like some of the things, like, people will, like, the God will lead you to the right people.
Right.
You know that it makes sense to help in that capacity. But like, yeah, like, I just feel like, man, passion is passion.
That's real.
You know, like, I was going to the Grammys last year to sing, whether they paid me or not. That's
exactly. I was like,
you gotta
first go. First of all, I was going to tell you, you got to go.
Yes.
You got to go. Like, this is something that you talked about in college.
College.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is something.
And I get to do it with my best friends from college.
Yeah, I know you're passionate about this. Like, you got to go. You got to go. We got to find a way to get you there. You know what I'm saying?
Whether it paid or not.
Whether it paid or not, it's a passion, but that is not what's been keeping you alive. You know okay. what I'm saying? Over the past umpteen years.
Yes. So
and that's what we mean. You know?
Yeah. That, I mean, but I think that's glorified entrepreneurship where people are trying to literally like, oh, I want to leave my job because I'm not, it doesn't make me feel good or this is not what I feel like I should be doing. It's like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Feelings don't last.
Oh, hello? Because you know? I can feelings feel like it today. I don't be feeling like it a lot.
Yeah. You know,
feelings but that's don't just last. Not how life works.
Yeah, it really isn't. Adulting. That's not how adulting
But I
works.
Do think there are instances where your passion does pay.
Absolutely. And you can become completely wealthy off of it.
But
I agree.
Also feel like sometimes you also have to be, are you willing to allow your passion to play out until it pays? Because there's something, stuff like podcasting is like, I love podcasting, but it don't pay the bills right now.
No.
So unfortunately, sometimes that means we fall off a little bit. Unfortunately, it means sometimes I can't do this and that and the third because right. there's nobody calling us right now yet. You know what I'm saying? For ad space that's paying us $20,000 to where I go, okay, cool. I can pay all my living expenses for the month.
Right.
off of one deal. Eventually, I believe it will be there.
Yeah.
I believe that it will do all that stuff like that. But are you willing to do 60 plus episodes with none of that?
Absolutely.
And a lot of people aren't willing to. It's like you go from, Pastor talked about this on Sunday. He said the Bible talks about seed, time, and harvest, and people want to skip time.
Correct.
And they just want to go seed and harvest. So just because I started it today, it's supposed to bloom tomorrow. And that's just not realistic. Like, yo, we have been podcasting for over a year.
Yeah.
We're going into year, we are on year two in April.
It's crazy.
In 2 months, we have been podcasting for 2 years.
Damn. That's crazy.
2 years.
That's crazy.
Are you willing to?
Are you willing to know?
Can you stand the rain?
Can you stand? Yeah. For your passion.
For if you love it that much.
Listen, if you love it that much, and that's where you got to assess your life or who's in your life and what's around you. Like, can you afford to do that? Can somebody hold you down long enough for you to follow your passion? All these things do play a part.
Yes, because figuring my life out.
Be smart.
You held me down.
Yeah, be smart. Same.
All right, that's a whole episode in itself. Hold me down.
Yeah, it's going to be a whole episode.
Just write that down. Hold me down. Hold me down.
Do we have time for one more?
Yeah, we got time for one more.
All right, last one. What are some effective ways to maintain and nurture existing friendships amidst busy schedules and life transitions? Pretty intricate.
I think some of the ways to maintain adult friendships is understanding.
Yeah.
Because niggas don't be meaning to not show up.
Yeah.
Don't be meaning to not cancel.
Not at all.
But like literally there are places where we wish we could have been in the last 2 weeks alone. Our kids are sick.
Yeah.
So sorry. My kids are sick. That's all I got. I can't.
Right now in this season of my life, I need low maintenance friends.
I've always needed that. I've always been that.
And I've always been that. I mean, here's the thing. I've always been that. So I'm not expecting anything, you know, because I know people have their own lives.
Yes.
And their life don't revolve around mine.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying? And people have to get to that point, that understanding of the world don't revolve around you. People's schedules don't revolve around you. And people have their own lives. Life is long, you know what I'm saying? Like, so give it time. Maybe one day they'll be more available, but in this season of their life, they may not be that much available to you, and it's okay. It's okay. I need that. I need a little bit.
The biggest thing that you said was that, like I said, the level of understanding, because it's not always for a reason that has to do with you. And I think sometimes when it comes to being friends, I've been that person where it's like I took everything so personally when it came to friends.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I felt like I'm such a great, when people call on me, I always show up. You can expect to see me if you throwing something, opening something, celebrating something, I would always be there. And at a point in time in my life, I used to feel like, yo, people don't show up for me the way I show up for them.
Yeah, in the same capacity.
And that's okay, because that might not be that, like, that might just be my role in your life. You know, there may be people that expect people to show up and I'm the one that shows up. And not that that's a bad thing, but I'm saying, like, they know that they can count on that from me.
Right.
Unless there's something literally why. If you don't see me, Malcolm and Brittany, there has to be a reason why. Correct. Because we typically are those people that, that do our best to show up when we are invited places or doing things. But I think the biggest thing is just understanding, because it's never personal.
Correct.
Unless it is. But for us, at least, it's not personal. It's really just like, yo, it's so much going on. Or like, there are just other priorities. And like you said, like, people's lives don't revolve around you. They don't revolve around my family. They don't revolve around, what the hell is happening? We need to end this episode ASAP, because what is going on? I can't even talk. Yeah. I can't even talk. I need that money.
Yo, that clip gotta keep playing. Dude, that is so funny. One day we'll tell the joke why. That joke is funny.
But I'm saying, like, nobody's life revolves around the other.
No, not at all. So, just don't take it. We learned that in our 20s, though, like, to not take anything personally. Before then, it was probably a struggle for you. I remember, it was rough. And I was like, I just don't understand, like,
why do you
care?
And I used to be like, because you're a terrible friend.
Right. She's like, I'm like, well, I just, here's the thing. Anytime I call somebody, it's like we talked every day. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that's my gift, but I don't know. Because I can meet somebody today and see, and we can talk like I've known them forever. Don't know
and
you.
I mean, who is that? I don't know.
I don't know. No, but either way, even if it's a friend, I can call a friend I haven't spoke to in a year, and we can talk like we've been talking every day for a year. I don't take it personally if they hit me up. I don't care.
Yes, I think the hit up thing is different. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I've even had to tell some of my friends too, like, yo, it sounds harsh to say, I don't expect anything from you. It sounds harsh to say, but hear me out.
Yeah, okay.
I don't expect anything from you, because when there are no expectations, like, it's like, I understand that you got kids too. I understand that you got your own husband and you got a job and you got all this. So if you don't answer my call, or if we can't hang out right now, or if you didn't this or that. Now, mine is my birthday. I think that's the only thing I'm a very stickler about. Like, don't forget my birthday.
Yeah, I got you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, outside of that, though, like, anything else to me is, like, free game. And, like, I've literally told people, like, yo, you good. Like, I literally don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't expect anything. You do not have to meet any standards. And we're not going to be less friends because you can't. I want you to understand that.
Like, you're
it
okay.
Sounds harsh to say, but you good. Like, I promise you. I'm not saying this sarcastically. And right. I think in today's world, it's like, nah, you cool.
I think if we were ever not good, we would communicate that.
Yeah, like, nigga, you good?
You know what I'm saying?
I didn't talk to my best friend all last week. Yeah. Literally. And we talked on Sunday. And it was wild how we talked, because I literally got in the car, was like, I need to call her on my way home, because this is my time that I'll be able to talk to her. And in the same minute of that thought, she was calling me. It was like, I haven't talked to y'all a week.
Yeah, that's that weird telepathic book. Yeah.
No, literally, I said it. I was like, that was crazy. I literally just had a whole conversation with myself about calling you.
Crazy.
But I'm saying, like, but we didn't feel no way, like, nigga, so we got beef. You like, you so calling me? Beef. Like,
it's hilarious.
Like, no, it wasn't nothing like that. It was like, bro, first of all, I've been trying to not be on my sick bed all week with these crazy kids. You know what I'm saying? And we both understood that. You catch up and you keep it pushing.
Yeah.
So
this has been another one.
Another episode, another season.
Season wrap up.
Yes.
Definitely dope season, definitely dope conversations, dope guests. That we had. Alex is funny as hell.
As hell. We'll probably have him back often.
Right. Because he's crazy.
He's
he has
living
a lot
our
more
life.
To say.
We're living life together.
Right.
You know? So, and with the friends thing too, like, whoever cooks in the friend group, that's your way to keep everybody together.
That's funny. That's real though.
Think about it. Our friends that cook, we always are with. You ever want to see us? Call us and tell us you're cooking dinner.
I'm crying.
Dead ass. But yeah, this has been another episode of the So Let's Talk About a Podcast. I am your co-host, Brittany.
And I'm Malcolm.
And you can follow me. I forgot what to say. Please. And you can follow me at Brittany Denham.
You can follow me at Malcolm_2_Garrison.
And you can follow the show as well. Let's Talk About It podcast. And if you're listening on Apple Music, make sure that you rate and review. If you're watching, possibly on the YouTube.
Right. You don't know what's going to drop.
But. Make sure you subscribe and like and let the algorithm know that you love us. And we look forward to seeing y'all on season 6 of the So Let's Talk About a Pod.
Peace.
Peace.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.